Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is Sunday in the second week of Lent, and the homily today is called Three Mountains. The first reading today is from Genesis chapter 22, the second is from Romans 8, and the Gospel is Mark chapter 9. Let's begin. The second Sunday of Lent is sometimes called Three Mountains Sunday. In the first reading, it's Abraham on Mount Moriah. In the second reading, it's Christ's redeeming sacrifice on Mount Calvary. And finally, the Gospel presents Jesus again in a transfiguration on Mount Tabor. Now, as we continue the journey through this season of Lent, now is the perfect opportunity for us to commit ourselves to climbing one or even more of these three mountains. Now, I think it goes without saying that climbing mountains can be very difficult. One of the greatest experiences in my life was walking the 799 kilometers of the Camino de Santiago in 2017. When I think back on that pilgrimage, some of my most vivid memories are soaking up the atmosphere on the mountaintops. There were several mountain ranges along the way, or at least mountains along the way, but each time I would approach a mountain path, there was always that slight sense of dread of what was to come, followed by that grueling hike up the side itself. But upon reaching the top, I was struck immediately by the clean air, the beautiful skies, and new perspective on the world around me. I think it begins to make sense to us why so many ancient pagan tribes would worship their gods on mountaintops. Being so high up, you feel naturally close to the divine, and then coming down the mountain, you feel transformed by the experience. My question then for us is, how can we be changed by the three mountains mentioned in today's readings? Well, the first mountain we see is Mount Moriah. God had made a covenant with Abraham that through his son Isaac, he would bear many descendants. Then, in what seems like a cruel twist of fate, God asks Abraham to offer up his only son Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, I'm sure we all intuit this as a major test of faith. However, to our modern ears, it still seems brutal, grisly, and nonsensical. However, recent archaeology has shed some new light on this that I think helps us understand what's actually going on here. It's been discovered that some tribes in the region of Mesopotamia, from where Abraham is from, were involved in the practice of child sacrifice to pagan gods. So Abraham knew this. Abraham knew that other deities were asking human sacrifice to appease them. So when God stays Abraham's hand and prevents him from killing his son Isaac, God is teaching him in a very dramatic way that child sacrifice will never be a part of God's covenant with mankind. The top of Mount Moriah, therefore, represents for us the total and final rejection of all the false gods of the past. So Lent is a time where we join Abraham in rejecting false gods. False gods are those things that dominate our attention in a way that distracts us from proper relationship with the one true God. These false gods could be anything from an obsession with entertainment, our phone, politics, money, success, pleasure, whatever it might be. In Lent, we are called to consciously fast from these things so that our heart can become refocused on the one true God. So if the news cycle is causing you anxiety, give up reading it for Lent or watching it for Lent. If entertainment leaves no time in your schedule for heartfelt prayer, go without it for the next few weeks. Say a rosary or read the Bible or sit in silent meditation with God and just see how your heart begins to change when you replace those idols with God Himself. If earning money has a hold on all of your attention, perhaps be extra generous in giving it away to those in need this Lent, up to the point where it stings a little. All of these practices can be difficult. We know this, just like climbing a mountain, but they inevitably bring us closer to God. They lend us new perspective, and they leave us changed for the better when we come back down. The second mountain is Calvary. St. Paul tells us today in Romans, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up to the benefit of us all. The mountain of Calvary is a reminder that Jesus Christ is our one and only Savior. Jesus Christ is our one and only Savior. It is by his blood poured out on the cross that our sins are washed away. In the waters of baptism, we enter into his death and rise up again to the possibility of eternal life with him. In the culture we live in, however, it has become saturated in this nebulous cloud of what I call New Age thinking. Now, there's no single set of doctrines for New Age thinking, but they all share one theme, and I'm sure you'll catch it. The idea of self-realization, self-fulfillment, or self-redemption. You can see what the focus is. The New Age movement does not see God as a personal being like we do, but as an undefined cosmic energy that can be tapped into and harnessed for our own selfish purposes, whether it be through the cleansing power of crystals, the repetition of self-affirming mantras, or becoming one with the cosmos through diet or exercise or whatever it might be. New Age thinking does not see salvation as liberation from sin, as we Christians do, but rather it looks for the enlightenment of the self and the ego, and that's what makes it so attractive. It is about boosting our own self and self-image. Now, to climb the mountain of Calvary this Lent is to leave behind any practices of New Age self-absorption and to recognize that Jesus Christ is the one and only path to salvation. We need to put Jesus back in the center of our lives. Now, a great way to do this would be to spend some extra time in prayer, humbly meditating on our own sinful weakness and our desperate need for God's grace to become the saints that each and every one of us was made to be. A great way of doing this, especially in Lent, is to practice the Stations of the Cross each Friday. This is a perfect way of recognizing our own need for Christ and His salvation. We can then take these kind of meditations to the sacrament of confession and experience through the priest the transforming mercy and power of God poured out for us on Mount Calvary. Finally, there is Mount Tabor, the place of transfiguration in today's gospel. Jesus takes his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain with him. And before their eyes, he was transfigured and became dazzling white. In other words, he revealed to them that day his true identity and his divinity and his glory. We hear the voice of the Father comes booming out of the clouds. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Now, like any of us would be, the disciples are totally overwhelmed, which is made evident by Peter when he starts babbling about building tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And then suddenly, it's all over. Just as quickly as it began, Moses and Elijah are gone, and the disciples are just left there staring at their teacher, Jesus. All of a sudden, their lives are changed forever. The man standing before them was so much more than they could have ever anticipated on the day that they dropped their nets and followed him. And by extension, their mission, the very meaning of their whole lives in following that man, that teacher they met that day at the seaside, was infinitely more important than they could have ever possibly imagined. The reality of Jesus and his message, it goes beyond this world. It goes beyond a earthly Messiah to an eternal and heavenly reality that we have a share in if we follow Jesus. So Mount Tabor is about shifting our priorities and meditating often on the world to come. So the question is, how often do we stop in our day to think about preparing our souls for eternity? As Christians, eternal life with God should be our number one concern. If we profess our faith in the creed, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, how do our daily lives reflect that belief? But more importantly, how do they reflect that joy and that hope of our eternal life with God to come? If the glory of eternal life isn't high on our list of daily priorities or doesn't factor into our major decisions and relationships, maybe it's time for us to go up that mountain and pray that Christ transfigure our hearts and minds like he did for Peter, James, and John that day on Mount Tabor. This will perhaps be the most difficult of the three mountains because it means a total change of life and a completely new perspective centered on Jesus, centered on heaven. Mount Moriah, leaving behind the false gods that distract us from true worship. Mount Calvary, recognizing that Jesus Christ is the only source of salvation from our sins. And Mount Tabor, transforming our earthly life to reflect our hope in the eternal life of heaven. Let us pray. Lord God, give us the strength to climb one of these mountains this Lent. as we strive to follow you more closely through our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. May our hearts be transformed by your glory and love at the top. Help us to keep the light of your presence burning bright in our hearts through this Lenten season and into Easter, and as we descend back down the other side of the mountain into the routine of our daily lives. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to help me spread the word and this Average Shepherd podcast, you can do so by sharing this with someone you think might benefit. Thank you, and keep the faith.